The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
The Pack is back. 94.5 ESPN is WKTI and WKTI HD Milwaukee, a locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now, maybe I took a double nut shot and I'm not thinking clearly, but I actually agree with Aaron Rodgers.
Whoa, hold on just a damn
second. We have breaking news.
What?
That's what I said.
Do we have a thermometer? Do that mean?
I said
we just
what
do
I
a,
said.
A temperature check?
I don't know
can
what other
do...
sounders to hit here. I'm very confused what to do.
All of them, I guess?
Little-known jackman Ricky Bobby places third in the Dennett Racing Machine. Ricky, first of all, where did you learn to drive like that?
The car. Car handler, did you?
Can you speak up, Ricky?
The car. You handle real good.
Nervous?
Yeah.
Me too.
You should be nervous. The time I start agreeing with Aaron Rodgers, you should be nervous. But I think that's the right attitude to have.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to turn the page, right? Or like Chewy said, flush it. You got to flush it.
Is this not the response you would want from Aaron Rodgers? If he believes in his team and he thinks that they're as good as we thought they were at 3:24 on Sunday, then yeah, this is the response. Like, yeah, we played a terrible game.
I felt like I was on spaceship. And I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Be good just to hold them down by your side. Yeah, great.
Well, we're real happy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count.
I'm starting to feel like maybe the movies lied to us. Like, I've never been...
Which one specifically?
Well, all of them.
I mean, some, like Star Wars, are documentary.
Same with The Replacements.
There's nothing wrong with The Replacements.
You ever see a sports movie and this team featured in the film goes into the locker room at halftime and, like, there's this inspirational moment and the harps are cued and the pianos are cued and it crescendos into a moment where it's like, let's go get them!
Yeah. Ducks fly together.
I don't think that actually happens. Chewy's the only one of us who's actually been in like a professional locker room during halftime. Chewy, have the movies, all the sports movies, lied to us about what happens at halftime?
Well, it doesn't happen like that, like they do in the movies, because the first thing that happens is no one talks. You just get in and disperse and go to your whatever side of the ball you're on. But it's hard for me because Homer was so bad at it, you know? It's kind of like he would give his halftime or pregame speech, and he'd have to give either the fake laugh or the fake cheer, la rah-rah. I mean, they were bad. I mean, I told you guys about the night before the Super Bowl we won. Did I tell you guys about that? His motivational thing?
No, like, I don't think you
walked,
did.
We walked into the... which essentially was a dining hall, but was our team meeting room in New Orleans. And there was a big pile of something on a table with a sheet over it. And
okay.
We're like, what the hell is that? And he starts it off by, this is what you get if you win this game. And he rips the cover off, waiting for this big dramatic moment. And it was... $1 bills on a table that amounted to like $105,000.
But wait, was it impressive? Was it an impressive display
no,
of money?
No, not at all.
No.
We thought it'd be more.
And you're like, that's it?
It?
Exactly.
Like, that's
like a dodgeball when he shows him, he opens up the briefcase to
clearly,
show Peter LaFleur the bribe.
He clearly didn't get the reaction he was expecting. And then where do you go from there? It was like a comedian on stage that wasn't funny that tanked. Yay! Yeah.
So, do you think you... Because the story behind Mike McCarthy when the Packers went to the Super Bowl in 2010 was he had everyone fit for their Super Bowl rings, and that was like the motivational thing. Would that have been better?
I think cream puffs would have been better.
How do you figure?
A box of cream puffs? Look, the Patriots sent these cream puffs over. They think you're a bunch of cream puffs. They what?
But would you have thought that was authentic? Would you have thought that was real? Because, come on, that's not real. The Patriots wouldn't have sent that. Well, like, your brain would have immediately gone there, right?
It's real for high school. I mean, high school does corny stuff like that. And that's probably where he got it from.
The reason I bring this up is because so often when you hear, like, national pundits or you hear reporters and, like, a team comes out looking inspired or momentum shifts soon after halftime, a narrative a lot of people fall back on is, whoa, must have been one hell of a halftime speech, right? And all of a sudden we're starting to get these indications that maybe the old halftime speech is a myth. This isn't happening. Coaches aren't rah-rahing the group during halftime.
Not really, but I mean, and I think we discussed this probably a couple months back. The best one ever was Miracle, the movie, because that one was kind of real.
Well, yeah, but that was right? Even pregame. Like, that speech is pregame. It's not even, and I mean, I guess you've got the intermission between periods, so it's not necessarily halftime, but.
I don't think I've ever had a coach that, maybe outside of a high school coach, because our high school coach had been there forever, and my senior year, he wasn't in great health, and he gave a fire. And I think the high school coaches probably give the best pregame or halftime speeches.
So once again, I bring this up because when Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week, it came up about, like, you know, what halftime adjustments and blah, 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 blah. And Rodgers was kind of like, yeah, halftime's not what you think it is, Ashton.
Halftime is interesting. I think there's opportunities for conversations, but a lot of time it's the coaches huddle at one point and the players have conversations. So I don't think you get a massive wholesale changes. I mean, a lot of teams might have a first half plan and a second half plan, but I think for us it's just about what little conversations can be had about things that happened that we can adjust to better in the second half, or what did we see from a protection standpoint, from a pressure standpoint, that we have to do a better job. Because if they hit us with the pressure in the first half, a lot of times they're probably trying to hit us with the same pressure in the second half. So I think those are the most important conversations to have. But massive wholesale changes, I think that's one of those, you know, sports talk things that, like Peyton and Eli said, is not, you know, doesn't really happen.
No, it's more of adjustments. You go in, and like I said, the first thing you do is you go to your locker and you gather with the tight ends, and then you're there for about 5 minutes. Andy would come in and give his thoughts, and then you'd go to, you know, the offensive group of the locker room. There's another, probably not even 5 minutes because halftime's so short. And then you come together as a team, and Holmgren says a few words, and then you go out. But it is mostly just making corrections.
Well, that's, you know,
I got more out of Andy Reid firing me up than I did Holmgren.
But that's the thing, too. Like, halftime and pro games. So the one thing that I've being now doing halftime on the Packers Radio Network and trying to get as much in as we have to. It's only 13 minutes. Like, doing high school games on Friday nights, the clock starts at 15, and then they add an additional 3 so the kids can warm up. And being at Badger games when I was working for ESPN Madison, college halftimes take forever. Because you got to get the band out on the field, they do their whole thing, then if everybody comes, like, it takes almost a half hour, it feels like, for college games. But in the pros, you guys have 13 minutes. By the time you get to the locker room, like, I'm guessing it's the locker room. I mean, how long does it take to get there? A couple minutes? By the time you get there, there's no time for anything.
I kind of want Chewy to power rank what you do during halftime of a professional NFL game. Like, I'm assuming that there's a bathroom break. Maybe. I'm assuming that you... Do you grab a little snacky snack? Are we doing a few oranges?
Orange slices?
I don't usually hit the bathroom, but the bathroom's usually just mobbed, you know? So you just go pee in the shower. You know, you just,
Follow-up question. How many times did you pee in the shower at halftime in your professional career?
5 or 6.
Oh, that's not a lot.
Per season.
No, it's not, but you got to understand, 53 guys that have to go to the bathroom, like Gabe, you said, within 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
So, okay, so after you take a whiz, then what?
In the shower, is it like a group session, like when you go to Wrigley, you know, and it's just like
It all depends. It depends. Yeah. See, it depends on how the game plays out. I mean, if you're up by 17 at halftime, you're like, we got this one. You know, you don't need adjustments. When you're kicking the crap out of a team, what adjustments do you make? So then it's just kind of like, all right, we're good. We're good. We're good. Yeah, we're good.
So you just sit in your little locker cubicle type of thing and you just what?
Yeah.
You just relax. You just breathe.
Shoot the bowl. Yeah. Some guys might go get retaped. You know, some guys may do this, that. But it all depends on how the game plays out.
How many guys change uniforms a la Desmond Howard when he was late in the divisional game of 1996?
If it's usually you just change the shirt. If it's like the San Francisco, remember the San Francisco playoff game where Desmond changed his entire uniform? Like, I would never want to change my entire uniform just because it's too much work. Putting my jersey on
because you wore the diaper.
Was enough work because I had the diaper, you know, which is a pain.
Chewy had a jersey.
Yeah, I had a diaper.
Chewy had a jersey that, I mean, I don't know if diaper, it's more like a onesie, I guess, but it would snap between the legs. So the jersey would always stay tucked
in. It's a bodysuit, Jen. Jen, it's essentially a bodysuit.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about going to the bathroom before. I immediately thought that he was doing the thing like the lady who climbed in the car, wore the diaper for like 8 hours. I thought we were literally talking about an actual diaper, too.
Chewy's where it depends.
The bathroom was so backed up at halftime.
But the problem,
do you think they make a diaper big enough for Chewy?
They must, right?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen society? Yeah, there's big enough diapers. But the problem one game was, the stupid whoever is in charge of the jerseys switched my diaper from buttons to Velcro. And I was incensed.
What were you?
I was buttons, and then they switched it to Velcro without telling me, and I went crazy because of the chafe down there.
But you were incensed.
Try having Velcro in the crotchal region, right? A big strip of it, as opposed to buttons.
Yeah,
and
they
don't even
do that for baby onesies. I don't own a single baby outfit that has Velcro anywhere. Certainly not in the crotch area. You can wheel right out of that.
Oh, it was terrible. It was awful.
Well, listen, I appreciate you giving us the lowdown, the skinny, because we've started to get this idea that all these halftime ideas that we have. Look, you will watch football this weekend, and you will hear somebody say something about halftime adjustments. And again, that's not to say that there aren't little tweaks. Aaron Rodgers even did use the word adjust when he was talking about the conversations that you may have. But it is interesting that our idea, this narrative we have about the halftime, rah-rah, cheer them, you know, yell at them, whatever it is, going to motivate them in the second half. It's not really like that. I mean, between Chewy telling us about the line for the bathroom and Rodgers telling us about how guys kind of just like talk amongst themselves, this to me feels like breaking news. Like, I guess I always just pictured when they were going in there that somebody was just firing up the team, you know? And like you said, miracle. Like, there was some sort of, like, coach kind of pacing around the center of the locker room, addressing certain guys and kind of undressing certain guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, jeez.
You know what I mean? You know, undressing. You know, when
you
undress
with your
someone.
Eyes. That's what you're doing
no,
to the
when
team.
You undress
I got it.
Somebody,
it's a really weird thing for a coach to do, I got to be honest.
Yell at
Chewy,
them
Chewy,
and you
did
say,
you ever have a coach undress you?
I had to have someone put my jersey on, not undress me.
It's more demoralizing.
Although, yes,
than motivating.
I did. I separated my shoulder in Tampa Bay recovering a onside kick, and they literally had to cut my clothes off.
Again, if I had given you the over-under on Chewy has had somebody undress him. Chewy has had a coach undress him. Over-under one, would you have taken the over?
I'd have taken the
over. Yeah, for sure.
I'd have 100%
on that one. Good stuff there from you, Chew. Chewy is on location. Great to have him back with us. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Ready? Down! Hunt!
all Packers, all the time.
They couldn't do it on Sunday because they ran the ball 9 times with their 2 primary running backs, and that's not going to be enough.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
One of the things that Matt LaFleur is really good at is looking at what went wrong and solving it, at least offensively.
Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Jason Wilde time here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You, of course, can hear Jason all over our ESPN Wisconsin stations, including on Wilde and Tausch right after this show. Jason, yesterday you guys were power ranking nuts. I know this because I got a text message from Tausch that said, "Am I forgetting any important nuts?" To which I responded, "Peanut Tillman." I don't think he liked that one as much. Jason, how did the nut ranking turn out yesterday?
Well, it's not certainly as good as your tweets when you rank things. So we're only allowed 3. The highlight of my enjoyment of the nut rankings was that Tausch put both the filbert and the hazelnuts. You remember, we only get 3. He put both the filbert and the hazelnut in his power rankings, not realizing that those are the same nut.
That was my... It's like a nickname?
See?
I didn't know that. I wouldn't have even known what that other nut was. What was it? A filbert?
No, yeah, that's a comic.
The Dilbert. No, that's Dilbert. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But what is the nut?
Filbert. I believe that's one of the nuts that George Costanza references for very old people that like Seinfeld, and maybe young people when it comes on to Netflix. But filbert, and then there's one other nut that's a person's name, which I don't exactly recall.
Wasn't there a president? Wasn't there a president whose first name was Filbert?
I think there was a Millard Fillmore.
Yeah, Millard Fillmore.
There we go.
He's the 13th Same president, thing. I believe.
What? How do you know he's the 13th? You have the presidents memorized?
So there was a book when I was a kid called Yo, Millard Fillmore and Other Presidents You Don't Know. So I just remembered Millard Fillmore was the 13th.
Yo.
Yeah, it is Yo Millard Fillmore.
Well, you know, it was trying to reach the kids, Jason. So, you know, that's what we do.
Jason,
hello, kids.
Before we move off the nuts, did left outrank right or was right above left?
Tausch was disappointed that D's did not make the list. And we'd like to thank Aaron Rodgers' double nut shot for giving us that topic.
Yeah, absolutely. The only other one that I sent to Tausch was the peanuts, as in Charlie Brown and his friends. Peanuts.
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to be our expert on that, and you came up with Peanut Tillman and like Lucy and Peppermint Patty.
Well, that's to be fair, he did include his list of nuts. So he said, "Am I missing anything?" So he had all of your standard nuts.
How long were his nuts?
Yeah, that's feels like it crosses the line there, Jason.
Really between him and Sarah.
Jason. Jason, the vibe of this
Chewy,
team.
Thank God Chewy is saving the segment. Which I can't
very
believe
odd.
I just said.
No. Jason, the vibe of this team when you've been around them this week, is there a lack of confidence? Is this a, hey guys, this is a one game thing, apparition? Is this questioning whether they are good? What's the feel of the team right now? Because I can tell you this, flying down to Florida, everyone wants to know, like, are the Packers any good? And my response is, I don't know.
I can see how they'd ask that. Yeah, I can. Well, you and I are on the same page defensively. Because
yes,
this is what we talked about last week. We heard so much from, I mean, energy was all people talked about as it related to Joe Barry. And the headline for my story in the State Journal was, so Joe Barry has lots of energy, but will his defense be any good? And the answer in the first game was decidedly no. I'm still not sure that their defense is any good. Like, some of the same problems, communication, playing too far off of the receiver on, like, 3rd and 6, and being, like, 9 yards off the line of scrimmage to allow for an easy completion for a first down. Those types of things still existed, just as they did before. So on defense, I don't know. On offense, obviously they played a garbage game. Even you guys in your heyday in 96 had the occasional stinker. But, boy, I did not – that's the part I didn't expect. I thought it might be one of those, like, 38-35 games on Sunday, not 38-3. So I don't think that they'll – I don't think their offense is terrible, but it certainly was terrible on Sunday. I don't know what I would have told those folks on your flight other than – I haven't been around these guys yet. Like, of course, we're not in the locker room, which really makes it hard to get a vibe on guys. But, like, they watched film on Tuesday, and then yesterday was their day off. So the start of their work week is actually today as they get ready for the Lions on Monday night.
At what point is it fair to wonder if they should have tried to mend the relationship with Mike Pettine to bring him back?
Well, probably... it's probably premature now, but if they stink again on Monday night, I don't know how many games we need to say that. Look, I believe that regardless of how this plays out. They improved significantly defensively last year over the previous year. I know there's a segment of Packers fans that expect the 85 Bears every year, and the way the NFL game is played today, and nobody's defense is that good. Occasionally you have a really good defense in the league that's dominant, but you know, I still, Matt LaFleur hasn't really talked about it much. And because of the Aaron Rodgers saga, we probably didn't do a good enough job of asking enough questions about it. But the reality is that initially his plan was to replace Mike Pettine with a Mike Pettine disciple in Jim Leonard, who, as I've talked about many times, played for Pettine at like three or four different stops in his playing career. And so this idea that, oh, I really want to run the L.A. Rams, Vic Fangio, Brandon Staley defense, I mean, was that really true? Because initially, that's not actually what you were looking to run, right? So, you know, I also think, I'm not a huge fan of the idea of choosing a coordinator based not on his qualifications, but based upon the scheme that he runs, because you like the way others have run it. Because that, to me, opens you up for, yeah, that's great. You know, ask Bengals fans if they think they've got the next Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan. I know he won his first game in a long time, but in Zach Taylor, Mike Sherman's son-in-law. Like, just because he runs the Rams scheme doesn't necessarily mean you're going to find Rams-style success offensively.
Jason, were you surprised at all that Devontae Adams kind of called out the defense? I guess it was more of kind of just like, duh, we all saw it. We all see it. We all see it. But, like, usually guys don't really skip over to the other side of the ball when they do their press conferences. Did that surprise you at all, that revelation yesterday?
Can you enlighten me? Because I don't know what you're referencing.
Ashton's got the sound.
We can. This is from NFL Network. Devontae Adams joined NFL Now yesterday, Jason.
Really, all three phases, we weren't taking care of business, not making smart decisions. Anytime you turn the ball over a couple times, you're sending your chances of beating a team that's a really good team. You're making it really tough. You're spotting points by putting them in advantageous, different opportunities. So it just got weird, man. It was a weird game. We had like 12 plays in the first half. It wasn't, our defense wasn't getting off the field. And, wasn't our best display. We came out really flat. And I think that it'll be a really good wake-up call for us.
Wait a minute. You listened to that and you heard him calling out the defense?
Jennifer?
I heard him say that the defense didn't get off the field, but I heard like this is like Scalzo's saying that Aaron Rodgers didn't take enough blame and he didn't do it until 5 or 6 minutes into his press conference when his very first answer was, "We played bad, I played bad." Like, Are we really at the point of parsing all these guys' words to the point of wondering if they're taking enough blame? Like, have we reached that point?
As a player, when you qualify as calling yourself out as you stink, and then you call out someone else in the book of whatever, that's okay. If he did it in the reverse, then I would question it. But he essentially, didn't he say, we stunk, we were terrible, and
yeah,
they stunk yeah. too. Yeah, then that's fine. Because there is a line that you cannot cross. I just don't think he did there.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I would say this, though. I mean, his first sentence was, they weren't very good in all three phases, and if anybody should be mad at him.
Mason Crosby.
Special teams were great.
Yeah.
Mason Crosby made a field goal. He had two touchbacks on the only two kickoffs he had.
It's a perfect
Corey
day.
Bohorquez was fantastic.
Jason, we were posing the question, is he calling out the defense by saying that?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't think so. Jason, back to the D coordinator, though. Let's go a little negative here. Let's say Joe Barry Carroll.
Wait, have we gone positive yet?
Yeah. What is there to be positive
wow.
about?
Teresa, let's get negative. We've been negative this entire segment.
Let's get nuts. So, all right, yeah, negative.
Let's say Joe Barry Carroll is terrible through the first five games. They decide to make a change. Who's the D coordinator out of that group?
That's a very good question. I would think Jerry Gray. Boy, this really is negative and hypothetical. I would think Jerry Gray's got defensive coordinator experience. He interviewed for the job before it went to Joe Barry Carroll. Nice reference to the old Golden State Warriors of the 70s and 80s. Maybe Mike Smith. One of my favorite interviews that we've had on Wilde and Tausch was when we had Rex Ryan on, and he used the interview, despite being friends with Mike Pettine, to essentially stump for the Packers last season, to fire Mike Pettine during the season and promote Mike Smith, which was not what I was expecting from his appearance. So maybe Mike Smith, if you talk to Rex Ryan. But it was like six games in or five games in, and that was what Rexy did. So, look, I don't think they're going to fire Joe Barry during the season. It's one game. I would hope with the amount of talent they have on their roster that their defense will be better. I don't think it's going to be dominant. So if that's what you're hoping for, you're going to be disappointed. But I would also add this. They need to figure out what the hell's going on with Za'Darius Smith. Because if you don't get voted captain, I personally, if that happened to me, I would take some time to self-reflect and wonder why. Instead, Za'Darius took the time to design a diamond-encrusted captain's patch as a pendant to wear on a necklace that he has apparently ordered and is on the way, if that's what OTW stands for. And to me, that really makes me wonder about how much there is an eye in team for how Za'Darius is approaching this season.
Jason, great stuff this morning. We appreciate you having you on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
I appreciate you having me as well. Jen, I didn't mean to be harsh with you on your idea of Devontae calling out the defense.
Listen, now that you bring it up, I was just about to send you a text message, man. I didn't hear the sound beforehand. I was just going off a question that was in our rundown that said, is Devontae Adams calling out the defense or just the whole team in general?
But so, now Jen is calling out Ashton.
Put that in the rundown, and I hadn't heard the sound, but I was going off of a question that was posed in the rundown. So then I agree with you 100%, Jason. After hearing the sound, there was no call out there.
Jason?
Let me defend myself.
Let me just say that I was absolutely going to let it go. Yeah. I was going to let it go. I was going to let it go.
Jen's like, new nickname is...
I was like, Jen's... I'll just take this one. I'll take it on the cheek. It's not a big deal. I can handle it. But since he brought it up...
Let me defend myself here for a second. First of all, I suck. Second of all, I was going to jump in, and then Chewy started talking, and I was like, well, I'm not going to override Chewy ever in my life. And then Jen was just sitting there like, well, it's way too late for any of this. So the main moral of the story, Jason, is, as you and I discussed yesterday, I'm the worst.
So for the rest of the show... For the rest of the show, we are calling Jen Za'Darius.
Just
I was going to say you should call her the bus driver.
I was, again, Jason, I was going to take it. I was like, just deal with it. Just eat it. It's fine. You didn't listen to the sound. That's your bad. I'm going off the shot sheet. I'm going off the rundown. And I was like, I'm looking through the glass as Jason is going, wait a minute. That's what you heard? And I'm going, I didn't hear any of it. I didn't hear. I'm just going off of Ashton's question. What the hell?
Yeah, bad job by you guys.
Irony. The irony of a question being about a player throwing other people under the bus, yeah, and then this conversation ending with Ashton with tire marks all over him is just amazing.
Can I tell you what, though, Jason? Had you not brought it back around at the end, had you not said,
now she's throwing you under the bus, Jason. She's throwing you with Ashton, like, oh, this is
bringing it back up.
The whole thing was just uncomfortable. The whole thing.
All right.
I was like, look, I'm starting to get sweaty. I've got tears in my eyes.
You and I got to look out, man. We got 90 minutes left in this show, and Jenna's already backed down two of the four people. We're in trouble.
Am I glad I'm here? I'm glad I'm here. Gabe,
Jason,
I got your back.
Really, Thanks, buddy. Good stuff this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
See ya. Holy shit.
You and I are going to talk.
Hold on.
Right after this.
Oh, this is my fault. I did my job. I posed a question. I had the audio. I mean, you didn't have to go to it. I was going to jump in and defend you, and then Chewie started talking. I was like, oh, I guess I lost my chance.
Oh, man. Is every day a struggle? Yes. Yes, it is. But this has nothing to do with that kind of struggle. If your car, if you're worried your car's going to start, if you're going to be late again, the easy thing to do is go to Ewald Automotive Group because they make it easy. Go ahead. Ask around. See if you get a lower price for service anywhere else. Bring it to Ewald, and Ewald will match it. Well, sometimes, like me a couple of years ago, you take your car to Ewald and you decide, you know what? The service isn't worth it. I want a car that's trustworthy. Well, Ewald can help you out there too because they have a 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. You can save money, get overbooked value for your trade-in, and get quick and easy financing. Customers delighted after realizing how easy it is to make an online appointment with Ewald Automotive. Meet Ewald makes it easy. You'll be ready to go. Go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hoth. Is that a place?
What?
Yeah.
That's a place,
that's
right?
That's a place.
Do I get some points there?
How do you spell?
H-O-F. H-O-F.
What just happened?
What are you talking about?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you ever been close to tragedy or been close to folks who have? Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse?
If you missed any of that debacle,
I mean, come on, guys.
You can hear it on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts.
Flush it and respond.
I'll take a picture for Ashton. We can post it on social media. You can see the tire marks on his back.
Definitely. People were asking on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. He said, Steve, yesterday you spent the first hour of the show talking about your concert dilemma. What happened? So Dario ended up going to the show last night. He was fine. He went and got his back worked on. And amazingly, our friend Liz Hood, who has a chiropractic company out in Wauwatosa, fixed him up. He was good to go all night long. So we ended up going to the show, enjoying it thoroughly. Apologies to all the people I said hi to last night. Just wanted to get that out there. I said hi to a lot of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just, you know, walking through. And
why the apology?
Hi. Oh, I was probably a little obnoxious. That's all.
Did you ever drop an Ola?
Did you?
No, I should have absolutely taken Chewy's Ola and tried to get as many Olas as possible. But no, I mean, sometimes that happens when you go to concerts. You end up saying hi to a lot of people.
That's why you wear a hat.
Yeah, and sunglasses. Look at Chewy just going to concerts in a disguise. You don't have to wear your mask anymore, sir. I know.
Chewy shows up with the Bobby Valentine glasses and mustache.
So last night I had a great day, but Dave Matthews Band. Dave Neitzel. Oh. Gabe, you had a tough time.
Oh my goodness. So as I do, I play a little bit of golf from time to time and decided to, you know, play a little golf up at Brown Deer Park yesterday afternoon. Got done with my round. I have my backpack in my trunk. And I don't have a ton of trunk space, so I just kind of moved it out of the way and for whatever reason decided to set it down outside of my car. I don't know if I thought at the time I was just going to bring it with me to back to the front seat, put my clubs in, you know, take off my shoes, change. But I left my backpack sitting outside my car. Just drove away. Thought about it last night for whatever reason at 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock last night, I'm like, wait, where's my backpack? Start frantically looking all over the house. I'm like, oh, you know what? Now I remember I came to the house, didn't have my backpack. It's probably just sitting in my car. Get out to my car, realize it's not my car, and then realize what I did. So it is pitch black outside. I mean, it's 9 o'clock at night. So I panic drive to Brown Deer thinking, for some reason, my backpack that I left outside 4 hours ago is still going to be sitting in the parking lot. Because I'm not rational at this point. I'm freaking out that I lost my laptop.
Was it?
Of course it wasn't. I mean, come on. The one thing that did
freak
me out.
I was holding out hope. Could you tell? I was like,
yes.
Maybe it is there. Yeah, maybe it's in the parking lot.
The one thing that did freak me out a little bit, though, when I pulled into the parking lot at Brown Deer, there was one car sitting like right when I pulled in, and it had its lights on. So I didn't really want to hang out the area, you know, too much longer.
That's probably some teenagers making out.
Find out what was going on. With the lights on?
They don't still do that?
I mean, they might.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
you pull into a park and that's where you make out.
Well, yeah, but turn off your lights. Don't draw attention to yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, if the
but
car...
they probably weren't thinking rationally either.
Well, I mean, you start thinking with other things at that point. So I'm just freaking out. Luckily, so I text. I know the pro. I have his number. I've played golf with him a number of times. So I text him like, Andy, what is... like, anybody turn it back? But he's like, I don't know. I left early yesterday. Couldn't tell you. So I'm freaking out. I'm barely able to fall asleep last night because I'm thinking, man, what happens if I fun there? Like, it's going to be a hassle if I lose my laptop. Luckily, this morning, I get a hold of somebody up there, and somebody, some good Samaritan, some sweet soul, turned in my backpack with my laptop. So I just got to go pick it up after the show today, thus ending about, you know, 10 hours of just complete and utter panic.
First of all, I want to know what a Gabe Neitzel freak out looks like, because I think I can picture it, but I also think it has a lot of, like, shaky hands.
Yeah, but Gabe, wasn't it a company computer?
Yeah, but I'm probably going to have to pay for it.
That makes it worse to me.
He's like, who gets all that? You didn't buy it?
You just write it off. No big deal.
Well, I mean, I'm not
like,
the one that
I
would write it
left.
Off. They would write it off. And you obviously don't know what a write-off is.
No, but I did. Okay. So last time I was down here in Florida, you know, I bring the radio unit. Jen, I stole yours this time, which is very nice.
You stole my unit?
You're not getting it back.
I'm not getting it back?
You're not getting this back. No, this is it's the Cadillac. I mean, you've been here what, a year? You've been a year. I've been here what, Gabe? 18 years. I get the
something
crap.
Like
you get the princess cut. So
you're not getting.
So
your
I'm taking
unit
the other
back.
Unit. I'm taking the other
the same
unit
thing
down
to my
here.
Husband. It's crazy.
So I take my unit down here. And we're meeting people that are flying in from St. Louis. So we take the tram. We're in the big area before you go to the gates waiting for them. And I put my stuff down. Hadn't seen them in like 6 months. So we're giving each other big hugs and stuff. And so we all go down to catch an Uber, right? Which is probably about a 4-minute walk to get to the curb. And I'm like, oh, my God. I forgot my radio unit up there. Which I would guess, Ashton, is pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm. I mean... I'm going to guess, for the sake of this conversation, very expensive.
Yeah, it's got a comma.
Okay, so I am, Gabe, I am with you. I'm panicking. I'm like, oh, my God. It had been up there for about 12 minutes. So I run back up there. And there's all these, you know, security guards standing around.
Around the radio unit.
They are.
Well, we should
because
explain to people. We
this-
put it in a little briefcase. Like, it's in one of these, like, hard cases. You open it up. You flip the antennas up, you plug in a few cables, and then you're on the air. But if you don't know what those pieces are, they can look very intimidating.
Yes. And if you go, see...
you plug
see,
it in.
I go through TSA pre, which they don't worry about it. They don't bother for whatever reason. But if you go... I don't want to say where the normal people go, but the other people go...
that was worse.
They take it all apart.
Oh, they do.
And they're like, what is this?
It's
you know?
Super annoying.
So they're
annoying.
Freaking out.
Super
and I just
annoying.
Walked into the middle of them. I walked into the middle of them because I was so disheveled and panicked. I just grabbed it and walked away. And they were like, Okay.
they were like, excuse me, stop with the thing that looks like a bomb. Because that's what they always think. They think it's like some sort of explosives.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of wires just kind of everywhere because if you've got a lot of wires. It's the way radio equipment works.
And I don't know what a bomb looks like, if I'm being honest. Like, maybe it does look like that. I just assumed it was like a... I assume there had to be some dynamite or something connected to it. That's why I always want to be like, come on,
like
look at
it, guys.
Like
Wile E. Coyote, but instead it's just strapped into this thing.
It's just those, like, they look like firecrackers
after
or fireworks.
After watching the Unabomber doc on Netflix, like, the radio equipment's a lot more complicated. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I feel like after watching the Unabomber stuff and some of the bombs that they showed there, a lot more wires inside there.
Pause. Please don't tell the listeners how to make a bomb.
Well, I don't know how to make a bomb.
So, Gabe,
I just know
that
there's
a lot less away with it. They let me walk away with it because the case wasn't made out of wood.
Chewy's seen the documentary, apparently. Hey, what's the most important thing you've ever lost? 800-990-3776. Because Gabe almost lost his laptop yesterday. Chewy almost lost his unit at the airport, of all places. What are you
using your unit at the airport?
800-990-3776. Let us know what is the most important thing you have ever lost or almost lost, where you hit the panic button like Gabe and Chewy did with their things. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
Chewy, I mean, Jen's in a little bit of trouble today because, you know, she threw Ashton under the bus. And anytime you throw your wife under the bus, like, you got to make up for it, and there's only one place to go to make up for it.
That is true, Gabe, and I am no longer in charge of my unit when we travel. My wife handles my unit, and that's why we go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue. When it comes to buying jewelry, take it from Gabe. Just got engaged. Where did he go? Jewelry center. Easy as pie. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry, like my Super Bowl ring when it needs work. I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They got three locations to stop by: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts at shoptjc.com. I'm not happy when she uses my unit. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm a big barterer. I am. Even though I'm getting stiffed on the deal, and I know that.
I'm a big barterer.
But what is the review?
I'm a barter guy. So
on 94.5 ESPN.
Attention has been put on the Packers offense just because of the Aaron Rodgers saga this offseason. Obviously, when the number one offense from last year scores 3 points in the opening weekend, it's going to raise a few eyebrows. But Chewy has been adamant the issue with this team, he believes right now, is the defense. And the numbers definitely back that up. Look, there are not a lot of good numbers coming out of the Packers game from Sunday at all. But when you look at some of the rankings, guys, rushing yards allowed per game, 31st in the league. Passing yards allowed per game, I was a little surprised by this. They ranked third in the league versus the pass against the Saints. Not bad. But DVOA, defense adjusted value over average, 32nd in the league, which is obviously, as you all know,
is that good?
Dead last. Oh. So we were joking a little bit earlier about the Devontae bite. He doesn't really call out the defense specifically. He just says we were crap all around. Every facet of the team was terrible. So, Chewy, how many games would it take for the defense to rank in the bottom of the league, like they do right now coming off of game one, for you to actually be worried? It sounds like you're a little worried right now. How many games would you be like, it's time to hit the panic button, Joe Barry's got to go, this isn't going to work?
I would say 5. I mean, that's enough of a sample size, I would think, you know. That's why I asked
given
Jason,
his resume,
next up in line. They're not like, I mean, he's consistent, you know, when it comes to being a D coordinator.
So
but,
five
I mean, it's
games
not
would
like
be who?
That
would be
out.
Saints, Lions, San Fran, Steelers, Bengals.
Yeah, because there's enough of a sprinkle of good okay offenses to bad offenses. I would call Detroit a bad offense. They're not going to be ranked very high at the end of the day. But it's not like, let's say this trend continues for 7 games and they decide to make a move. They're not going to go outside the building for this year and go bring in another defensive coordinator. They would have to promote from within, which would essentially be the same style defense, maybe with a different twist. But what did Jason say? Jason doesn't think that they would fire him in the middle of the season?
Correct.
I don't know if I agree with that, because this is it, peeps. This is it. They are in cap hell next year. They're going to have to trim the roster and make some tough decisions, and their run at it, I believe, is this year.
Okay, 5-7 for Chewy. What about you, Gabe?
I'm with Jason. I don't think he gets fired. He got fired because he's Matt LaFleur's buddy.
I'm not even saying getting fired. I'm saying push the panic button, where you're going, what you're doing isn't working. Oh, 5-7 feels a little long to me.
This is the third quarter count? Like, I am
already too late.
I am hitting the panic button because everything that Chewy said about this defense came to fruition in week one. And there is zero reason to think what we saw on Sunday is going to change. Is it going to look better against Detroit? It better. But am I terrified to play San Francisco and the way that they can run the football? Yeah, I'm worried about that. Am I worried about playing a veteran quarterback with a couple of young, good receivers in the Steelers? Absolutely worried about that. Am I worried about the Bengals? They looked better than I thought against the Vikings in week one. Terrified of that. Bears come around. If the Bears come to their senses by week six, Justin Fields is starting. Makes me a little worried. Washington football team, that offense stinks. No issue.
But
you got to play the Cardinals? Like, they're playing some teams that are just going to make me absolutely terrified from now until eternity because of what they did on Sunday.
But, Jen, the trickle-down affects the offense, too. Because let's say he stays consistent and they play okay against Detroit and then they're horrible. Well, then the offense has to sit there and go, hey, look, we're going to have to outscore teams here. Well, the problem with outscoring teams is the defense is on the field so long that it limits your possessions.
And you got to score fast, you're not starting to run the ball, right? I mean, yes, you have to sprinkle the run in order to keep the defense honest, but when you're in a jam, and we said that, you're down 17 to 3, was it early? Trying to come back from a
17-3 at half.
It limits your offensive options. So, yes, the rankings right now don't look good. Obviously, that'll happen when you only put up 3 points in opening week, but they are ranked 32nd in the league, obviously, in offense. They're ranked 30th in points allowed per game. They're ranked 30th in takeaway differential. They're ranked 26th in passing yards per game, 32nd rushing yards per game. Like I said, third in passing yards allowed per game, which is funny because, when Jameis Winston scores 5 touchdowns, explain to me how you could be so good against the pass. They
only gave up 148 yards.
Well, I guess.
Gabe, let me ask you this, Gabe. When do you play better golf? Okay, when do you play better golf? When you can get up, hit the ball, go. Get up, hit the ball. Or when you get up, hit the ball, wait for 20 minutes. Hit the ball. Wait for 20 minutes. Hit the ball. That's what this offense is.
100%. Yeah, when the golf course is slow, it is just terrible. Because you just kind of lose focus. You're not in any sort of rhythm or flow. It's awful.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. How many games will it take for you to push the panic button on this defense? Gabe has already pushed the button. Chewy says maybe 5-7. They keep showing up where they're ranked last in the league or close to last in the league in these defensive categories. 5-7 games, you got to make some changes. What do you think? 800-990-3776. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up next.